United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
We're broadcasting today before a live audience. I'm sure that's a controversial statement, but the group will at least support me in the idea that we've done this before. Our guest today has been spending the month in a kind of a victory lap. She has been touted and spent many hours hearing the kudos and congratulations and thanks. And we'd like to change the venue just a little bit and say something about those issues that were most interesting and most challenging. She is Janet Morgan Riggs, and the climax of this month of kudos is that she's required to give a interview with the Seminary Explorers, as it was when she began in her office 11 years ago, when we interviewed her then. I'm Jerry Christensen, and this is the Seminary Explorers. Janet Morgan Riggs has been with this college now for 11 years, but actually you started as a student in 1973. And except for 4 years at Princeton, the New Jersey version of Gettysburg College, you've been with the same institution for more years than we either of us can count. Since I get the perk of being the interviewer, so let me ask the one that concerns me a great deal, and I think the people in this audience would be with me on this one, and it was one I asked 11 years ago. The president of a Wisconsin state school some years ago, not that long ago, said that the way they were going to save money and increase enrollment was to eliminate philosophy, history, and literature. So my question is, what is the status of the liberal arts that, as you know it, around the country, and what is the status at Gettysburg College, where you've been president for so many years?
That's a great question, Jerry. And I will say, I think there are a lot of misperceptions about liberal arts education in the public, and it's our responsibility, those of us who are at colleges of the liberal arts and sciences, to try to speak out about those misperceptions. You hear a lot of stories about, you know, these philosophy majors who can't find jobs, or, you know, why don't they do something practical like welding, those sorts of things. Yeah. And, you know, the liberal arts are alive and well, I would say. And when we talk about liberal arts, first of all, I think a lot of people think only history, philosophy, maybe studio art, something like that. But the liberal arts is broad-ranging. It includes the natural sciences. People get very surprised when I talk about mathematics or neuroscience or molecular biology at Gettysburg College. That's part of a liberal arts education. Well, yes, indeed, it is. Social sciences, natural sciences, arts, and humanities. I would argue that in today's world, there is no better preparation for careers than a liberal arts education. And I really believe that. Some people say, well, of course, you're the president of a liberal arts college. What else would you say? But I really do believe that. Our students today are graduating into a world that is so fast changing. And gone are the days when you graduate at age of 22 and enter your career and stay there for 40 years. It's just not like that. So the statistics today are that students are changing jobs every few years, and they're changing careers multiple times over their lifetimes. So we're trying to prepare students for that, and we're trying to prepare students for some careers that don't even exist yet. So no, we're not providing all of the specific job-related skills that one of our graduates might need in 30 years, and I would argue no one can do that. But we are providing them with a set of skills that we think are transferable and that are going to be very useful, very applicable, very relevant, no matter what career they take on. And those skills are certainly problem solving, critical thinking, trying to come at complex issues from a variety of different disciplinary perspectives, effective communication, and that's in writing, that's in speaking, and we could include digital communication in that as well. An understanding of people who come from a vast variety of cultural perspectives, an ability to work with others in teams. All of those are the kinds of skills that these graduates are going to need in the workforce. And those are the things that we teach at a liberal arts college. And we teach them whether you're majoring in philosophy or biology. All students are receiving that set of skills.
When I mentioned those three courses, of course, I'm a little bit prejudiced, as others might be in those fields. But the point you're making is that no matter what the courses are, within limits, the main thing about a liberal arts education is the ability to think critically and right. speak and dialogue and communicate right. with critical acumen.
The other thing that I want to say, and again, I think this is something that this particular group will appreciate, is at a college like Gettysburg, there is a clear focus on civic responsibility, civic engagement and social responsibility, I would say. And we need that. I mean, that is a public good that we're offering. Sometimes that gets lost in the focus all on career, and we feel very firmly we do need to be preparing students for careers. But we also feel that it's very important to prepare students for active citizenship and to feel responsibility in their communities to affect positive change. And that too, I think, is a very important component of what we're trying to do.
The college has a center for public service.
Yes, we do.
And a lot of people use it.
Yes. In fact, that center evolved pretty directly out of our Lutheran affiliation. The first director of that center, Carl Mattson, was a chaplain at Gettysburg College. And that Center for Public Service has really evolved in some remarkable ways. I can't tell you the number of students each year that are involved in its programs. Yeah. I don't have that in my head, but it's a tremendous number of students. And a majority of students have some exposure to it during their time at Gettysburg. And they engage, again, in problem solving, working with community partners around issues that are complex, that aren't solved quickly with a Band-Aid, that need longer-term solutions. We don't expect our students to come in and provide the answers, but we expect them to come in and work with community partners to start generating some solutions. And they do that here in the local community as well as communities all over the world, literally.
That was the first of our interesting and challenging issues. Now it's your turn to select your own. What were the most interesting and challenging issues that you faced in the past 11 years? Well, I don't think I need to suggest any. I think you've got a list that is longer than the next 20 minutes or the 10 that we have left.
Yes.
And my next question is...
College presidents face a lot of challenging issues, but I think one of the most interesting challenging issues has been the change in student demographics over just even over 10, 11 years that I've been president. The composition of our student body has changed dramatically, and that matches changing times in our country as well. So our student body has become much more diverse in every way imaginable. Race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, religious beliefs, political backgrounds, gender expression and sexual orientation. It's a much, much more diverse student body. And it really enriches the educational experience. So students come to Gettysburg and they spend time with a lot of students that come from backgrounds that they have never crossed before. And so we think that's a really important component of the experience, is to help these students interact with each other, get to know each other, and really gain an understanding and an appreciation of one another. I will say with that comes some stress and strain, you know, helping a very diverse group of students get along, get to know each other, approach issues from different perspectives with civility. The other thing is that there are a lot of changing needs that go with that group. So, when I think of the range of student support services we have now relative to where we were 15 or 20 years ago, we now have something called the Mosaic House, which is home of our Office of Multicultural Engagement. We have offices there, we have social space for students there, as well as some residential space. A very important component for our campus, not just for students of color, but for all students, to provide some programming. We have an Office of Religious and Spiritual Life that's now working with a broad array of students, Muslim students, Jewish students, Christian students, very different kind of conversations going on there than did many years ago. The issue of socioeconomic status is very interesting on our campus. I think a lot of people think that, you know, Gettysburg students are wealthy. There are few who are, but many of them are receiving significant financial aid. I think about 75% of our students receive aid. They arrive on campus, and there are opportunities available to them, but they can't afford all of those opportunities. Or they need funds to go to the doctor or to replace a set of eyeglasses, and they simply don't have the funds to take care of that. So we've been working really hard to try to be sure that all of the opportunities available to students are really available to all students, not just those who can afford it, but also to help sort of bridge the gap for some of these students with emergency funds and so on. To give you another silly example, we presume that students can drive. Well, we have many students now from urban environments who don't have a driver's license. And you come to Gettysburg, no
what
car.
Time is the next bus?
They're used to an urban environment, and they're looking around thinking, how do I get around? Where's the bus? Well, we do have that nice little shuttle, but, you know, it's a little different than an urban environment. Yeah. So there's a lot of trying to meet the needs. And I'll keep going with this list. Another big shift among this generation of college students, and certainly not just specific to Gettysburg, is an increase in mental health issues. So the incidence of anxiety and depression in this generation of college students has just skyrocketed. And there are some in this room who are working with those students on a daily basis. So that means a lot of extra care. And again, we're in a community that doesn't offer a lot of support in terms of psychological services, so a lot of that responsibility lands on us. That's very challenging. It also means that we need to be watching all of our students carefully all the time. And I don't mean that in a big brother of way, but I mean in a supportive kind of way. Mm-hmm. So we have developed a system called CARE, which really encourages people to report in on students or faculty or staff who they see might be having some specific trouble so that we can know about that and reach out proactively to those students. Suicide rates on college campuses have jumped. We have been very, very fortunate at Gettysburg not to have one of those instances during my presidency. That's not to say we haven't been close a number of times. And so these are serious issues on a college campus to deal with, and ones that, frankly, I have worried about constantly.
They're interesting as well as challenging.
They are interesting.
We're talking to Dr. Janet Morgan Rigg. She is the now retiring president of Gettysburg College in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And it's a kind of an exit interview because we also had an entrance interview 11 years ago. I'm Jerry Christensen. And you're listening to the Seminary Explorers. I wonder now, I mean, this is so obvious, but it's still interesting and a challenge, and it took you 10 of the 11 years, I'm sure, and that's financial, maybe 11 of 11 years, the financial considerations of a private liberal arts college.
I stepped into this presidency in June of 2008. Need I say more? The economy crashed, and liberal arts colleges really haven't recovered, frankly, from that. That combined with fewer families who are able to afford the cost of a Gettysburg education has made for some very interesting financial challenges. As I said, the vast majority of our students are on financial aid. When you look at our, this maybe is more detail than you want, but when you look at our year-to-year increase in net tuition revenue, it's almost non-existent, frankly. And so we're trying to always do a little more with a little less. And this is common to liberal arts colleges across the country. It is a huge challenge right now. The needs of students have increased. The dollars coming in have not increased. And so it's a constant challenge of trying to use the funding that you have to the best possible end that you can in support of the students. Mm.
You mentioned that your successor will probably take a year to get settled, and then the whole process will start again.
Oh, yeah. Well, in terms of fundraising, mm-hmm. yes. Yeah. So one of the things, of course, we do to try to counteract this is aggressive fundraising. We did have a campaign, and I had said to Jerry earlier, colleges are going to always have to be either in a campaign, recovering for a very brief time from a campaign, which is this year, or planning a campaign. There's not going to be any in between. Mm. Aggressive fundraising is going to have to continue.
I had the first question, and I guess we have a few minutes for the last question. There are more, so you can think of a few more. While I ask you this one, of interest to me, in your inaugural 11 years ago, you straightforwardly mentioned that the college was founded by Samuel Simon Schmucker, and I think 99% of us in the audience said, who? And you explained that he was the founder and a Lutheran minister who had founded the college in order to bring people up to the seminary. But more than that, so the mission of the college from the beginning has always been oriented to the community and not just to the seminary, certainly, and not just to the church specifically. It was a mission of the church. I say that because I'm already leading you to be able to say we're not just a feeder for church vocations.
No, certainly not. In fact, to some people's chagrin, our connection with the Lutheran Church we have maintained, but I would say it's become a little more distant over time. The percent of Lutheran students we have is minuscule. It's in the single-digit percentage. But that's not to say that the sort of core values and mission, that service to the community, is not clearly embedded in our work. And I do think our Lutheran heritage has had tremendous impact on who we are today, and it continues to.
Yeah. Well, and that's a very important issue for people who are connected with the church and have thought always that this is a kind of a quote-unquote Lutheran school. We're not Minnesota. We don't have a great concentration of Lutherans in this area. We can't expect a lot of Lutheran faculty or students. But if you're right in your inaugural, you said it was actually Schmucker's mission to serve the community as much as to serve the church, if we can divide the two.
Exactly.
And I think that's continued.
Exactly right. Exactly.
I give you a chance for one last interesting issue.
Oh, do I get to pick?
Yeah, this is your pick. It could be that you're going to be able to join the choir here at St. James now with your husband, Ed,
after all these years. I'll give them a break.
You and I will agree on that one, right? Neither of us are going to serve the church in that capacity.
I guess I will just return to something that I said the other day, actually at a borough council meeting, is how much I have appreciated the relationship between the college and the local community. I think it's really hard sometimes on community members to have, 2,500 18 to 22-year-olds in close proximity. there are some stresses associated with that, and I can say that with a big grin on my face because Ed and I have lived right in the borough within a block of the college campus since 1990. So we raised a family there. We know this well. We have tried to work very hard with our students to reinforce in them the importance of being respectful to their neighbors and their understanding that they have families living next door to them and so on. And, they're 18 to 22, and sometimes they remember that and sometimes they forget. But we continue to reinforce that. But I'm just pleased with the relationship that I think has really developed between the college and community. It's been here for many, 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 many decades, but I think over the last 10 years, maybe that relationship has gotten even stronger. We are pleased. Gettysburg College is so pleased to be able to contribute to the community in some important ways, whether you talk about the Majestic Theater or the hotel, or whether you just talk about having events that are available to the community members, lectures and musical programs and theater, and much of which is, if not for free, very low cost. And we want to continue to build that relationship. I just think that's important, and I think it's very important that that relationship continue to be symbiotic, where the college and the community support one another, and that's certainly something I've talked to my successor about.
In this time of your retirement, you've been thanked, I'm sure, by the community, but let us do one more time to thank the college for the impact it makes on this particular community, as do small liberal arts colleges around the country. The theater you mentioned, the hotel, the improvement in some of our downtown housing. If we take a look at Gettysburg and compare it with some of the surrounding villages, the difference here, not just physically, but also intellectually and in entertainment terms, and the kind of people who retire here, all are very much a reason for thanking the college and to you for 11 years of service.
Thanks,
Our
Jerry.
Guest is Janet Morgan Rigg. She is now the retiring president of Gettysburg College. I'm Jerry Christensen for the Seminary Explorers. Have a very good day.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.